Item 13, black sea bass. Mr. Grist.
Good afternoon, everybody, today. As we mentioned at last month's meeting, scientific collection permits have been issued by VMRC staff since 2007 that have exempted several aquaculture facilities from the possession minimum size limits that are described in Chapter 950 pertaining to black sea bass. Now, these permits have basically allowed approved aquaculture facilities to conduct research for the development of black sea bass aquaculture facilities within Virginia itself. So it's been a research and development phase. Now we're getting into production phase, as some of the businesses have let us know. One in particular, Mid-Atlantic Aquatic Technology, has let us know that they're currently raising 15,000 black sea bass fingerlings for market in 2014, and the marketable size for that will be 10 inches, which is an inch less than the current possession minimum size limit of 11 inches that we have for our regular black sea bass fishery. So what I want to do is just walk through the changes in the regulation where we've added basically aquaculture permitting and requirements to the regulation now that we have basically industry that has developed, and to make this a little bit more standard, move it out of the research and development phase and get it away from the scientific collection permit process. We do establish a black sea bass aquaculture facility permit on page 11. The page numbers I'll refer to are on the lower right of your evaluation pages. So don't let the ones on the upper right of the regulations throw you. We'll just stick with the ones on the lower right. But we do establish a permit on page 11, but walking through the regulation from front to back, on page 5 in section 30 is the exception to the current commercial size limit of 11 inches. And then on page 6, which is section 46, it's the ability to possess, harvest, and sell black sea bass raised without possession of a directed or bycatch fishery permit. That is the existing permit structure that allows you to possess and harvest black sea bass, wild-caught black sea bass. So now we're establishing the exception for the aquaculture facility. Then we move on with the new sections that we've added in on page 11 in basically almost subdivision, really, but 60A.1. The ability to import black sea bass eggs, fry, broodstock from captive broodstock facilities outside of Virginia. This is something we also already have in place, such things as striped bass in Chapter 252 and for cobia. Also on page 11, sub 60B, agents of the commission would be authorized to make periodic inspections of the facility. Again, this is standard that we've had in place with some of our other regulations for aquaculture. On page 12, in 70A and 70B, all cultured black sea bass to be labeled as aquaculture origin. This is to distinguish it from the wild caught, which is something that is, for marketing-wise, we want to be able to distinguish aquaculture from wild harvest. And also on page 12, 70C, no black sea bass from aquaculture facility shall be placed in Virginia waters without the written permission of the commissioner. Obviously, a lot of aquaculture-raised fish sometimes have some very distinct genetic changes to them, and what we want to do is prevent anything being introduced that may affect the wild stock itself. This proposal has been advertised in accordance with 28.2209 the Code of Virginia for public hearing. We, as of to date, no public comments.
Any questions, Mr. Grist?
I want to just ask the question with regard to the, as you mentioned just now, no fish will be released into the wild without written permission from the commissioner. What about just problems, oversights, mistakes that could be made? Do you anticipate real, could there be real issues with those fish introduced into?
Most systems such as black sea bass are closed systems, more so than some of the pond systems we have or some of the hybrid striped bass. It's not foreseen to be something, these developed systems, to be as big a concern, but it's why we have the inspection process as well, the look in there, plus other agencies will have their issues with this too, with runoff or anything else from the facility. But the inspection process allows us to identify if there is a problem that we need to come back to. Yeah, the last thing we want to do is have some situation where they have an overflow, and all of a sudden all the fish go swimming to the stream and head out.
Right.
So that's one of the benefits of having the inspection process. It allows us to identify a problem that maybe we don't foresee right now.
Is there any history of problems with other fish, just for my own edification?
Well, striped bass.
Striped comes to mind. Yeah, and I'm getting there. I'm trying to get to an example, but thank you, Lewis. The one thing about hybrid striped bass is a lot of them are raised in pond systems. So let's say we have an Isabel come through, it's a tremendous amount of rain throughout the area, and everything overflows. That's where we run into problems. Now, with specific with hybrid striped bass, though, what we deal with in that regulation, because it is a lot of open systems, we actually have a design for basically a catch box that's attached to the outflow and some other measures. We actually do physical site inspections for those because they're outdoor facilities, looking for having the catch box in place, certain types of riprap in place to help also entrap fish if there was an overflow event. Things like that are put in place for striped bass because that is more of an open system type thing. Sea bass we see is more of a closed system. But, again, if we do identify anything that looks like it could be a threat to the Commonwealth, we'll be coming right back to you to say we need to add this provision in there. We don't foresee it, though, right now. That's why we haven't gone any further.
We have a facility, not we, there is a facility on the Eastern Shore now, right?
One in the Eastern Shore and one in Bedford, Virginia.
And they're raising sea bass.
And they're raising sea bass.
Successfully, apparently.
Right.
Mr. Erskine.
Joe, just out of curiosity, is this a quarantine facility? Is it required to be a quarantine facility with the effluent that they produce? I mean, there's a concern about releasing, you know, cultured product into the wild for breeding issues, and I understand that. But is there any concern with, you know, effluent from the cultured?
I don't have a direct answer to that because I believe that would fall under Department of Environmental Quality and part of their permitting process as far as effluent would go. But I don't have an answer to that immediately.
Okay.
This is a public hearing, correct?
Yeah.
Is there any public comment on this matter?
Dr. Luther? Information.
Sure.
I don't know the filtration, the size of the filter, but obviously even in a closed system, you have some turnover of water and makeup water, and you drain tanks. And I could check into it easily enough, but it's actually quite close to the lab at Watch Creek. But the effluent is filtered. Mm-hmm. Of a size that you're not going to get fry and fish going out of. But you know, if you were concerned about gamete, sperm, or egg, I think that would require looking into it a little bit further.
Thank you. Any public comment? Any further public comment? Seeing none, public hearing's closed. Any final comments or questions?
Not the matters before the commission.
Basically, we just need a motion to approve this thing.
Motion to approve the regulation.
All right. I make such a motion.
All right. That second. Is regulation 950. Made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.